A reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. As he sat down and taught the people from the boat, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they had enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we come today, we ask that the healing spirit of Jesus would meet us as we look at your word. Father, we need to hear from you. We need to encounter Jesus and experience the transformation that Simon Peter was able to experience some 2,000 years ago. Free us from our sins. Free us from just all the things that we're feeling and just feeling overwhelmed. Because in you and in the gospel, you grant us new life. And we ask that you would do this for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. We've been looking at the life of Jesus through the gospel of Luke the past few weeks. And we began looking at Jesus' public ministry 2 weeks ago, his first recorded sermon in his hometown of Nazareth from Isaiah 61. And let me just remind you what he preached and what he read in the synagogue that day. And he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we saw last week the character of this kingdom that Jesus described, his dominion, his power, his rule, which is being imposed on the world. And this is good news because there is liberation, there is healing. We saw Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick and the leper. And there is freedom from oppression because Jesus' unending kingdom and his reign is coming into the world. And that's what we saw. And now we have here in chapter 5 another aspect of this kingdom, because we see in this calling of Simon and calling of Peter and the disciples here a new purpose for life, a call into his kingdom. And in this, we see a transformation that begins to take place in Simon Peter, and it's a transformation of a relationship to our own selves, but it's also a new sense of purpose that comes to bear upon him. And we pick up this passage in the beginning of Luke 5 with this. It begins with a very large crowd gathering to hear Jesus teaching. Jesus teaching God's word. And how are all these people going to hear him? He's right up against a lake. And what he sees is there's a boat there which belongs to Simon. And Jesus asks Simon, "Hey, can I get in your boat? And can you take me out a little bit into the lake? This way I can speak to everyone." And from that boat, Jesus begins to teach. And when he is finished, he looks over at Simon, and in verse 4, we see him give Simon some instructions. He said, "You know what? Why don't you take your net and put it out on the deep side of the lake here?" And Simon answers him, "Jesus, you know, we worked all night. We've been fishing all night, and we caught nothing. But you know what? At your word, I will let down the nets." I mean, that's his nice way of saying, you know, "Jesus, I know you're not a fisherman." He's saying this in a nice way. "We've been working all night. We are professionals. You're a carpenter, you're a rabbi. It's sort of like the person in the situation that has watched a few seasons of Grey's Anatomy and now feels like they know enough about medicine to give advice to a doctor on how to do their job. And I'm guessing this is how Simon Peter might have felt. And if you know anything about fishing, the middle of the day is the worst time to do this. But I love what Simon Peter says. He says, at your word, or as the NIV puts it, because you say so, I will let down the nets. This is the only reason he does it. It's because of what Jesus says. And I want us to think about that for a second. Because the Bible is actually making the case here that because Jesus actually said so, that is enough reason to do so. We don't say, Lord, it doesn't seem practical. I've tried this before. It didn't work. But instead, we say, but because you say so, at your word. And this is an opportunity to put our faith in him and in his word. Now, for those of you who are Christians, let me ask you this. When was the last time you obeyed Jesus just because he said so? Or do you do what I often do, which is, Jesus, I need a little more. You know, I need a reason. I need an explanation. How about a nice spreadsheet that projects out the outcome so I'm persuaded? I can feel confident now because you've laid this out for me. And I can see how this will add value to my life. I mean, have you ever done that? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying those things are not important. But there is something here in this passage where at Jesus' word, just because he said so, Simon Peter obeys. And if you've ever said to Jesus, you know, I hear what you're saying, but again, what value is this going to add to my life? It probably means there's an aspect of this where we've not really obeyed him. We like to get advice from Jesus. You know, we want him to be our consultant, but we often don't like him to be Lord. And we often say things like, I try to follow what Jesus says as long as it is not inconvenient. I try to follow Jesus' commands as long as I see a clear benefit. But to obey actually means you do something just because Jesus says so. And look at what happens when Simon Peter actually does this. I mean, it is the largest catch of fish in his entire career. We're told the nets are strained, they begin to break, and he actually had to call for help from a boat that was nearby. And there were so many fish in both boats that these boats began to sink. And Simon's response was this. He falls down at Jesus' feet, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Get as far away from me as possible, Jesus. I'm sinful. And you're not. You're holy. You're great. I recognize who you are. But Jesus actually doesn't leave him there. Instead, he invites Simon Peter to follow him. And he leaves everything behind and follows Jesus. Now, notice something here. Did you notice at the start of the story, he's called Simon, and at the end of this, he's called Peter, but in verse 8, he's called Simon Peter, here and here only. You know, commentators often suggest that this renaming is some sort of transformation that's taking place in Peter's life and in his identity. Something is happening here, because when you encounter Jesus and you experience his salvation, there is a transformation of your identity. Whenever you get close to God, something happens that begins to reshape us. And let's take a look at what happened to Simon Peter. The first thing we notice is he recognizes his sinfulness, right? Depart from me, and he says it himself, I am a sinful man, O Lord. This is one of the first things that begins to happen when you begin to experience the salvation of Jesus. You actually get a very accurate view of yourself, although it feels terrible. You come to the realization and you admit just how flawed and broken you really are. And that often means it feels traumatic. It feels awful. It feels hard. You know, this happens to Abraham, to Moses, to Jacob, Job, Elijah, anybody. And Peter here. There is this deep sense of emotional trauma because you realize something. You're drawn to God's power, His glory, His tenderness, His beauty. And yet, it begins to reveal things in you you do not want anyone to know. Because in 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And when you step into that light, all your flaws are revealed in this light, in ultra 4K high def. I mean, it is frightening. And Simon says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And you know, if you look back to Jesus' sermon in the last chapter that he gave in his hometown, think about how his townspeople reacted in Nazareth when they heard his message. They didn't experience this. They were actually enraged by Jesus and they wanted to kill him. It was a sermon that incited a desire to murder. They didn't see their own sin. They didn't see a need for cleansing. They didn't see the power of Jesus' compassion. But they held on to their own ability. And they kept saying, we are in need of something different. But Simon Peter here sees himself accurately, as painful as this is. And this is the first step in recognizing there is a deep transformation taking place inside of us. Have you experienced this when you draw near to God? You feel all these things coming up. Some of it's not even stuff you've done, but perhaps others have done to you, and you don't want anyone to know about it. And Jesus is kind of prodding at it and poking at it. And you don't know what else to do but to say, God, get away from me. I'm sinful. And at that very moment when Simon feels this way, there's something that Jesus does. In verse 10, he says, do not be afraid. He's saying, I'm not rejecting you. I'm not telling you to go away. I see what you're afraid I will see. I know this about you. And Jesus isn't pushing him away, but he actually says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. He's not saying, I want you to sign up for a few classes, some seminars. He's saying, you know what? I want you to come with me, and I'm going to give you a new purpose. Becoming a disciple in that day meant you were part of his family. And when Jesus' salvation comes into your life, you realize there's a whole lot to deal with in yourself. But Jesus doesn't shoo you away. He doesn't recoil from you, but he invites you in. This is the good news. And have you experienced this? When you thought you deserved to be rejected, or you thought no one would see you as lovable, you're invited in. That's a remarkable feeling. And Jesus extends this welcome to Simon Peter and to us. This is one of the amazing things about meeting Jesus. Here he is, all glorious in power and in holiness. And yet he comes to us and he says, hey, draw near to me. Come unto me. He doesn't say, Peter, go fix yourself first and then come to me. No, he says, no, come to me. Experience me. Experience my embrace. Experience my forgiveness. Experience what I'm going to give you. I'm going to reconstitute your whole sense of self, give you a new purpose in this world. And you will go out and do something amazing and astonishing in my kingdom. And this is the third thing. What happens in verse 11? We're told, left everything and followed him. What did he leave behind? Think about this verse 8. What was on the shore? There was a net. That was his profession, his tools, his toolbox, his tool chest. And this massive catch of fish, almost certainly the greatest catch that he's ever had in his career as a fisherman. I mean, it's like your company that you've been working for years is finally going IPO. It's the biggest deal you've ever put together, and it actually closes. Perhaps you're a writer and your book is not only getting published, you find out it's starting off on the bestseller list. The greatest professional and economic success you've ever experienced. And as a fisherman, there was more money on that beach that Simon Peter left behind than he's ever seen in his life. And Jesus invites him to walk away from it for my sake and come and follow me. I mean, what does this all mean? Why? And that's part of the question here. Now, one of the things it doesn't mean is this. I think people think, well, does this mean every single person now all of a sudden has to leave behind their profession and go into full-time ministry vocationally or move overseas and become a missionary? That happens to some people, but that is not normative. That's not what the Bible says here. But here is what I do think is happening. When Jesus comes into your life, he impacts every part of your life, including your work. Because the relationship you have with Jesus now becomes the most important thing in your life. And it begins to free you. Free you to choose to walk away from the golden handcuffs of what is there before you. How else do you walk away from that kind of success? How else do you do that? I mean, think about our occupations, what we do most of the time, and how that is a part of our identity. As a student, as a homemaker, as a stay-at-home mom, as a professional, as an artist, one of the questions that we answer about who we are is, what do you do? You know, when I was growing up in New York, that's naturally the first question you ask someone when you meet them. As an adult, you say, what do you do? I notice you go to other cities like Boston, they want to know, so where do you go to school? Because they're all trying to figure out who are you, and the value of what it is in each place is a little different. And here, if the main way you get a sense of yourself is your work, and it's so much a part of who you are, it's hard to let go and walk away from it. It really is. Because it has so much power over you, you can never put it down. You can never walk away. You can never rest. And all of those things have incredible power over you. And here, Peter walks away from it. And the only way this is possible is there has to be something more compelling than what you're doing. A work that is absolutely more engaging than what you are already doing all the time. And only if there is something like that, only if there's value in something that you're willing to leave behind, will you feel the freedom to do so. And here Jesus says, you know, I actually have a mission for you, Peter. I'm here to heal the whole world. You've seen it when I went to your house and I healed your mother-in-law. We saw that last week. I'm here to heal the whole world. I actually want you now to catch men. You know, this Greek word means to actually rescue people for life, or to bring catch unto life, to liberate people into life. And Jesus is saying, this is what I want to do. I want to fix everything that is wrong with it. You've heard me preaching in this boat. You've seen what I've been doing. And I want you to come and join me. I want you to be a part of this mission. And it gives him a new sense of purpose. It's high impact. It has something that cosmic consequences here. And Peter begins to see this is not only what he's done for him, as he deals with his own sin, as he sees healing take place, he's saying, now I want you to join me in this mission. And when that happens, boy, all the things that is broken inside, you realize Jesus is healing me and he can heal my friend. He can heal my neighbor. I'm able to go do something different. We're liberated from all the things that hold on to us, and there's a new sense of self that Jesus begins to implant in us. We're born again. We are free. One of the stories I enjoy and I think back on often when I think about a passage like this is from Gary Haugen, who's the founder of International Justice Mission. It's a Christian organization that frees people trapped in sex trafficking around the world. And in his book, Just Courage, he remembers a day when he decided to abandon his career at the U.S. Department of Justice to become the first employee of a nonprofit that is yet to exist, that he's been plotting and thinking about and talking about for 3 years, that was just the theory called International Justice Ministry. He's been thinking about, how am I going to follow Jesus in this work? But now he had to go in that day and tell his boss, I'm turning in my badge. I'm letting go of this career. And I want to do something different. And when he told his boss politely declined because he said, I want to keep you here. And he says this, Gary says, I was suddenly feeling very nervous. What was I really afraid of? And as I thought about it, I feared humiliation. If my little ministry idea didn't work, no one was going to die. I mean, if IJM turned out to be a bad idea and collapsed, my kids, they weren't going to starve. We'd probably just have to move in with my parents for a little while until I can find another job. You know, and with my education, I'll probably be able to find a job. The fact is, I would be terribly embarrassed. Having told everyone about my idea, they would know that it was a bad idea, or that I was a bad leader. Either way, it was humiliating. So there it was. It was about him. It was this boundary of fear. And he said, I sense God inviting me to an extraordinary adventure of service. But deep inside, I was afraid of looking like a fool and a loser. I sensed that God was calling me to lead a movement to bring rescue to people who desperately needed an advocate in the world. But I was afraid of getting embarrassed, and so I never even tried. And he couldn't go down that path, so he moved forward. And he says, you know what, fear is normal, even among people, the earnest and devout. And he says, it can be overcome. It can be overcome, and it becomes possible when you begin to experience the kind of freedom Peter did on that day. When he encountered Jesus and he saw, here is one who has come for me. Here is one who one day will do something dramatic, real, and set all things right. He had no idea how that was going to happen, but he knew enough that he could trust Jesus at his word. He knew enough. And we know 3 years later, after months and months of training, discipleship, and ministry, Peter got to see. The reason he was so drawn to Jesus is he sensed something that day. That Jesus was one who gave up all of his glory, all of his safety, all the things that were treasure to anyone else. He set those things aside to come, to take on human form, in order to give his life so that we would experience freedom. That's what the gospel is. And Peter joins him on this journey. And we know he's not going to do this right. He's going to have lots of problems along the way. But he begins by saying, Jesus, I'll follow you. You freed me. You've healed me. Now you invite me into your work. You know, think about that this week. If you are a follower of Christ, if you're someone who said, hey, I know this love, consider how God is wanting to use you in his kingdom. Consider it. Think about it. Pray about it. Perhaps he wants you to be a conduit of his grace and mercy to someone, perhaps your roommate, a family member, a neighbor. Perhaps you're the one that needs to check in on them, pray for them, engage them. For others of you, you need to maybe start with where Peter started, is to meet Jesus in such a way that you allow his light to reveal all that is in you that you're afraid to show him, because he knows it already. And he's saying, I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to shoo you away. But I actually have something for you. Forgiveness, healing, liberation. And he's saying, come, follow me. I'm going to transform you and repurpose you for something glorious and good. Because that's his promise. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God who loves to embrace us, to bring healing to our lives and our hearts, so that we would go out with a new calling to serve you. That no longer our lives would be centered around just pleasing ourselves or building up our bank accounts or having our own happiness be the sole source of our satisfaction and joy in this life, but we would see ourselves as agents of your kingdom to show others what we've received from you, that you would activate our hearts, our courage in such a way that we would go out and serve you and serve the world that you have placed us in. Father, would you do that for your glory and for your kingdom? And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.